You're listening to
The Classroom Collaborative
Podcast with your hosts, Dee Dee Wills,
Ed Rock,
and Adam Peterson.
Here we go.
We're so glad you're here.
Let's get started.
This episode of the Classroom Collaborative Podcast is sponsored by AliveStudioZoo.com. And Dee Dee, did you know Alive Studio Zoo is doing virtual zoo trips?
Well, I've heard a little bit about it, but I know you know a lot. So yeah. Share with everybody.
Yeah, if you go to AliveStudioZoo.com, you're going to see their YouTube series where they're taking students and parents and teachers and everyone virtually through their Alive Studio Zoo to see all the animals while learning letters, sounds, reading skills, math, and more. So check it out at AliveStudioZoo.com. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is a fun episode. I'm so excited to be back with you, Dee Dee. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Just living the dream. You know how it is. Working from home, hanging out, doing what I can to stay busy. I went and picked up the kids from school yesterday, and Trisha came out and dropped them off like to my car because I try to avoid the pickup line. And She goes, "What are your plans for this afternoon?" I was in one of those moods. I just go, "I don't have a job." Remember?
I have no plans. I
felt so bad saying that, but we're back and we have a guest in the house today. None other.
We literally have a guest in the house. I have my super good friend. Deanna Jump with us. She came to spend the weekend here. We're working on a couple of things. And
I'm going to guess it's more than
things,
a couple.
Yes. And so, but we thought what a great chance for us to corner her and have her on an episode. Yay. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Hey, welcome everybody. To the show. So I love it that you say corner her, like lock the door. Don't let Deanna out. We're going to record an episode. Get out of
she
bed.
She doesn't Let's have do a vehicle here. So that is helpful. That is helpful. You can't run away.
Deanna Jump, we all know you as a rock star educator, creator of Get Your Teach On, creator of Get Your Teach On K-1 experience that Dee Dee and I were both a part of this summer and we talked about. Yeah. But for listeners who don't know all about you, tell us about your ed journey and your educational background.
All right. Well, I have taught for over 22 years. I've been out of the classroom for about 3 years, so I don't have a job either, Adam. we both have that in common. So. Anyway, I've only taught kindergarten and first grade because that is absolutely where my love and passion is. I've never had any desire to go above that grade level. And I have an ed specialist degree in early literacy and reading instruction. And that's really where my passion is. You know, math is okay, but not my favorite thing to teach, right? Like that's definitely where I am the weakest, but early literacy and reading, that is my passion. That's what I'm strong at. I still, even though I'm not in the classroom, I still read and research everything I can get my hands on that relates to early literacy and reading instruction.
It's awesome. Yeah. And that's well known. I know I see you sharing stuff all the time with Dee Dee and on your own. And I'm the same way. I think it's part of being an elementary teacher. Like, you know, you have to teach it all, but then you pick your favorites. Like I'm a total science guy. I love teaching science, math, I can do without. And now that my kids are getting older, they remind me of that. Like our daughter's in junior high. Our son is in fourth grade, but he's in a high math class. And they'll be like, "Hey, Dad, I can do division better than you." And I'm like, "I have a calculator. You don't."
I know how to Google that answer. So, and I'm old school, right? So I'm a grandmother. I have 9 grandbabies. I have 8. I have 8 grandbabies. Sorry. I'm working on trying to get my kids to give me the ninth one. I've told them, listen, you know, the littlest one is 3 months old. It's time to start working on the next one because I love newborns. They're just precious. But anyway, so I am old school. So mercy, this new math, like the Common Core math and the new way that they teach this kind of stuff, like my granddaughter's in fourth grade. I can show you how to do this in 2 steps. You would be done in 3 minutes where it takes her 10 minutes to work a problem. So I am no help. I am no help with helping with math with the older ones. And that's also a reason why I say I'll teach K and one, because I can do Johnny had 3 apples and Jose had 4 apples. How many all together? But get a little higher than that and I'm lost.
Yeah. So. I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, I understand the reason behind it, but goodness sakes, it's challenging.
Yes.
Well, we're not going to talk about math then. We're going to talk about something else. So Dee Dee, you mentioned we were going to chat about some phonemic awareness stuff as well as digital stuff, because obviously that's huge right now.
Right.
So what were you thinking? What kind of ideas you want to talk about, Dee Dee?
Well, I was thinking, you know, Deanna has, like she said, literacy is her jam for sure and her passion. But phonemic awareness is something, or phonological awareness is something that she has just really dove into and immersed herself in, and knows it every which way but Sunday. Is that an expression? It is right now.
I think so, yeah.
And so we would love to have you talk about phonological awareness or phonemic awareness, and why it's so important, especially for these primary students.
Okay. Well, first, let me start with, for those who don't know, let me start with what the definition of phonological awareness is. Okay. So phonological awareness is the ability to recognize and work with sounds in spoken language. So this is all done auditorily. You're not having those graphemes or those letter representations written. Okay. They're not reading it. They're hearing it. It's working with spoken language. And under the umbrella of phonological awareness, it's this huge umbrella that under that are many, many skills. You have rhyming, working with alliteration, onset and rhymes, syllables. And then under that also is phonemic awareness, which a lot of times teachers, they mix up the two. They are totally different. Phonemic awareness falls under the umbrella of phonological awareness, but it is a different set of skills. That's where you're starting to work with the individual sounds in spoken language. And it also, it has three layers. So all of these skills start build on each other. It goes from noticing to actually doing. So for example, in phonological awareness, once they can notice whether or not two words rhyme, then they would start being able to produce rhymes. So from noticing to doing. And it's the same with phonemic awareness. You're going to start with blending. So if I said cat, what's my word? And your kids would say cat, okay? So you would start with doing a lot of things with blending those sounds together. And then they're going to work with segmenting. So if I said dog, tell me the sounds you hear in dog. And now the kids are doing the part of dog, breaking the word apart. Okay, and then it moves from, this is the next level of phonemic awareness. And this is one that a lot of times teachers skip, but it is really the most important step in helping kids learn to read. And that is phoneme manipulation. So once they're able to blend and segment words, you wanna make sure you're starting to work on manipulation. So if I said, say hat, you would say
hat.
Hat. Say hat without,
and then you would say at.
Hat. Add to at.
Mat.
Okay.
Am I a good student?
Yes.
Okay. You're doing lovely.
And then you can work where it's a little bit more difficult. Now you would just say hat.
Hat.
Change to
mat.
Mat. So just the level just gets a little bit higher. And but you want to really make sure that you're spending at least 10 minutes a day working on these phonological awareness skills. It's not just, a lot of teachers just think, oh, it's just playful. You're just playing with language. And yes, it is. Making it playful and playing with language, doing those nursery rhymes and all of those types of things where you're playing with language, using their names for syllables and that kind of thing is so important.
Right.
And it is fun, but the main thing is it is very important. It's not something that you just do every once in a while. You really need to do 10 minutes a day. I say if you spend 10 minutes a day on phonological awareness, it keeps the reading doctor away.
That's awesome.
Because it really is. It is really like is the single best indicator of reading success in kids in early
age. And I know I'm guilty as I'm listening to you talk. Like I know I've been guilty. I'm sure other teachers are. Like we far too often, if we follow, especially when we're given like a new curriculum, right? And we're like, all right, I got to teach this the way it's taught so I can learn how to teach in the future. And not to knock curriculums, but we can go on a whole topic about that. Oh, yeah. But so far too often, it throws everything in at once, right? Like they'll say, all right, write a word on the board. Now sound that out with your students while you point to the letters. And for some kids who just need the phonological side, like because they don't know what a letter is yet, that's so confusing then to have everything thrown at them at once. The sight of it, the hearing of it, the putting together of it, it can be hard. And I'm so glad you mentioned the word play and nursery rhymes and things like that, because especially in today's fast-paced and standard-based world, we forget that those things can all meet the goals. Like those things can help us as a tool to meet the standards we have to.
Right. It doesn't matter if you have a student who knows all of their letters and sounds. If they don't know how to use them and put them together, take them apart, then they're just something that they know. It's not something that they use. And from what Deanna has said and has talked about over the years is that it's sort of like you have all these tools, but you got to be able to have a way to use them together. That's how you get those to work in conjunction with each other, in concert with each other. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
Yes. And when you said tools, it made me also think about, You know, in math, we use tools. Right. They have manipulatives that they're using. In phonological awareness, you can use those same tools too. So like when you're teaching kids about that words make up sentences, right? So you could say a sentence and then have them count out Unifix cubes to represent each of those words in a sentence. So I have a dog, right? I have a dog. How many words? Have them build that out. I have a dog. And then point to each one. And that's also helping with one-to-one correspondence later on when right. they're getting ready to read. When you're doing phonemic awareness, using those Elkhonian boxes, which each of those boxes stands for a speech sound. So having them use those in chips to manipulate mm-hmm. and push up those sounds in words. So like hat, for each of those sounds, they would push up a chip. At, and then run their finger across and blend hat. So making sure that you're also using those tools in your phonological awareness instruction as well, so that they are able to manipulate it and make it more concrete for them.
Right.
Well, and that's what I love hearing you talk about that, because you at the beginning said I'm an ELA person all the way, not so much mm-hmm. math, but you're so good about tying it all together. Like you just said, grab your math curricula or math manipulatives and count it out. And you were working on fine motor by grabbing those pieces. So
right.
I think that's what makes teachers, you know, the amazing people they are, is the way they can adapt all of these things or this stuff that we're given and mm-hmm. put it into use in the best possible way for our students.
Well, let's the three of us start a school together.
I have been, oh my God, Trisha and I, like, that is our dream. That's our dream is to start our own school. And we can't do that on one teacher's salary right now, but someday we're going to open our school. I haven't got a name picked out. I want to call it in honor of my friend Honor that we do Yellow Day about.
Right.
I want to start a school and call it the Little Yellow Schoolhouse. And like, kindness is the theme. And she was a big horse lover, so we're gonna be like the Little Yellow Schoolhouse Stallions or whatever you want to call us. Like I've already got a dream.
As long as it's not old gray mares, so that's all I'm
saying. Yes. Oh, I'm gonna fight gray hair with all I've got. No, I love that, Adam.
Maybe we just need to move to Florida, Didi, all of us.
Yes, and I know. Y'all move to Florida and let's do it.
Okay. Well, we're getting snow on Tuesday, so that actually might happen. So.
Are you kidding me?
Today it's going to be in the 80s. Uh-huh. And then she was telling me that she's getting snow on Tuesday. I'm like, how is that even possible? I don't even know how the weather can change that quickly.
I'm not even going to mention the weather. I'm just going to say, well, I live in Illinois, so that might happen soon.
Yes, I know. Like, yeah. Well, you know, one thing that getting back to the subject of hand, which I do would rather sometimes talk about beautiful weather, but you know, another thing that, you know, one thing that Deanna and I went through this spring, I guess, is the Orton-Gilliam training.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that they obviously talked about is the importance of having the phonological awareness, right? And then they also talked about having letters presented to students while they're doing blending activities. And so I have some thoughts upon that. But since Deanna's our guest, I was going to because one of the things that I didn't want people to get confused about, I'm doing blending in my Orton-Gillingham lessons, right? Mm-hmm. And so therefore I'm checking that box.
Right.
This is in addition to, not
instead of.
Uh-huh. So although yes, you're doing those blending, if you're doing our not your mother's sight words instruction, and we're doing tons of blending, that doesn't check your blending box. That's practice. That's not the teaching part of it. So what you really need to make sure you have is a systematic way in which you are providing instruction. I used to think, well, I will just plug in what I need to do as my day goes on. And what sometimes happens is those types of skills where I'm just going to plug them in or embed them in my instruction, they get skipped over or they don't get done in completion. So having something that you are following, it doesn't have to take a ton of time. Deanna, how long is your lessons typically, your phonological lessons that you've made?
About 10 minutes a day.
It's not that much. So it's not like, oh my gosh, where am I going to find the time to do this? But to have a set time in which you dedicate to doing these types of lessons is really, really important. So I just wanted to kind of mention that because I was thinking about the Orton-Gillingham, which is awesome, but it's not I'm doing that, therefore I don't need to do all of this other stuff that we're talking about. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. And it's nice to hear 10 minutes right now, especially in today's world, right? Because teachers are stressed for time. Like I know, and one of the big things people keep talking about with virtual learning best tips and best practices is the routine and the structure of it and keeping a steady routine. And if you can do that and knock that out in 10 minutes a day as part of your routine, then you know you're doing the best you can, and it's going to have its payoffs for sure.
Right. And then the nice thing about this, like Didi said, I already have a phonological awareness curriculum that's created, and it is created to be digital. So, you know, when you're in the classroom, you pull it up on your smart board and you're flipping through the slides with your students. So even though it is an auditory skill, I've added pictures to it for those students who are visual learners.
Awesome.
So it has the picture. So if you're saying, you know, give me a thumbs up if these words rhyme, goat, boat, they're hearing it, but they're also seeing a picture of goat.
Right.
And both. So it's already digital. So teachers could use it like in any, like if they're doing a Zoom lesson and they're sharing their screen or whatever. Also, you know, I know money's really tight right now, so I'm not trying to say go buy this. I'm letting you know it's there if you want to use it and buy it. If money's tight for you right now and you just cannot do it, but you need something to help your kids, because this is such an important skill. Mm-hmm. Phonological awareness is the foundation for learning to read. So go to my TPT store, pull down the preview, and it has the, it already has it mapped out for the whole year. Like do this, 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 and then you're going to do this, this, this. So you can create your own.
Yeah.
As you go. Great. Yeah. So just use that as a guide, because I really did do a lot of research for how I should make it systematic and explicit, like starting from the noticing and moving to the doing. So it's kind of already planned out for you, and you can create your own.
Right.
Now, if you're a TPT seller and you create your own, I will come after you. I promise not.
I will find you.
I will find you. But if you're a teacher, please just use the resources that are out there. Don't feel like you have to go and spend money that you do not have.
Use
the resources out there and just create your own lessons for now that you can.
You can grab images off of Google, and as long as you're not posting them somewhere outside of your classroom, you can steal those images, but don't come after me if you get sued. But
as long as you're not selling,
as long as you're not selling them, you're fine. So you can have, I mean, they might be the cute images, but nobody cares but you. Right.
Right. Well, and you said the word resource, and I think that's so important. And that's what I love about the two of you on your own, but also together, is the amount of resources you create. Because too often schools teachers are stuck in the idea that they have to use what's given to them, right? Like our school purchased this curriculum, that's what you're going to teach. Mm-hmm. But the thing about TPT that I love, and we'll talk about you too, that I love, is all of the stuff you create can easily enhance whatever curriculum, quote unquote curriculum, you have to teach, right? Like they are resources. And really, when we stop and think about it, I use this phrase all the time with teachers, your standards are your curriculum. That's what you have to teach, right? So these are just another tool you can pull out, just like you pull out magnetic letters to help teach letter identification. Pull out one of these resources to help teach phonological awareness, and you're just enhancing the learning experience.
I was going to say something else about using pictures in this skill. So if you think about students who might have a language processing issue, mm-hmm. having those pictures are really helpful for mm-hmm. them. For myself, my hearing is not what it used to be. So it may be, you know, sometimes we have students who have those types of issues, but that we're not aware of them yet, right? Some ability to hear clearly. And then we also have ESL students.
Right.
So we're connecting and adding some context by having those illustrations as well. So that's super important. So that's just another reason why, yes, we can do it by talking, but if we want it to be maximized in effectiveness, having those pictures to go along, so helpful.
Right.
I was also gonna say one more thing.
Go for it. You act like I'm going to approve or disapprove that. Go for it.
Can I talk?
Can I talk?
Deanna, our last episode that Adam and I just did was talking about some assessments we put on ESGI. Deanna, you put your phonological awareness assessments on ESGI.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Awesome.
So if you have, ESGI. Yeah. So if you have the ESGI, you don't have to have her program in order to use and have access to those, but those are available to you as well, which is really going to help guide you, just like any assessment. It's going to help you guide you in what you need to do next, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Can we talk real quick? I don't know if we want to go into, but I just want to talk about how much fun I had doing your Get Your Teach on K-1 experience. It was It was so fun. I know a lot of our listeners had reached out and said, like, I watched your sessions. I still watched your set. Like, yes. It was such an amazing tool. And those of you who were able to access that for free or for the super cheap price that you did, Deanna is the one to thank for that.
Yes.
She made it all available for you. And we were just lucky enough to be able to help out. But
yes, Adam, you may not know this, but you helped over 30,000 teachers.
That's crazy.
30,000 teachers registered for the free for the free version. We wanted to give it free to everyone, but I had no idea that many people would want to do it. So 30,000 was the absolute max that the platform that we used would allow.
That's crazy.
So once we reached that, we had to close it down, and then I had to do another version for people, and we did have to charge a little bit about that, even a little bit for that, but no one was upset that they had to pay. Yeah, I mean, it was 24 hours of content, and I had so many, like yourself and Dee Dee, so many amazing,
it was so fun,
educators who stepped up and said, yes, I'll do a session. I want to give back to teachers right now. So yeah. I just appreciate you guys being on the team and being able to do that. And for those of you who participated and joined us for that, thank you so much for doing that. And so many wonderful comments that were left on the platform, and just so really good. just filled our buckets. So thank you guys so much.
Well, you know, here's what happened as we got closer and closer to that conference. Deanna disappeared from the face of the planet. She was on her computer like all day, all night. I cannot imagine what behind the scenes would look like.
I wouldn't know where to start.
Although,
I had someone.
You know, for me, it was maybe an hour and a half or so out of my day to create that session. But for you, I can't even imagine.
It was a family affair. My son Hunter was my tech guy. Thankfully, bless you, Hunter.
But you gave so much of yourself for that. And that was pretty amazing.
Well, I've had people ask me.
We need
like,
to do it in person now.
I was going to ask. So
this coronavirus has to go away. Yes. So we can get back to our get your teach on in person, because there's just nothing that matches
true
being able to really like make that
right.
connection with the teacher.
Right.
So true. So you and Dee Dee, you're going to have to be on my team when we get back to doing it in real life, in real world. So
I was going to ask, is it secret or is it out there when there might be another one, or do you have ideas on the plan for another event, or is it even thought about right now?
No, it's not a secret. So far, the only in-person conferences that we have planned are for next summer. We feel like hopefully that's a pretty good gap of time for things to get worked out, and we'll be able to be in person next summer. Possibly in January, we may do another virtual conference. We're kind of working on that and thinking through that. Because I feel like we can't go that long.
We can't, right. Teachers can't live in a vacuum for that long.
Yes.
Right?
So hopefully we'll be able to get something together for January. We're just now in the beginning planning stages, but there will be, we will have a national conference. We're actually going to have two national conferences this summer, since we had to postpone the one that was planned for 2020. So we'll have one in Orlando, and then we'll also have one in Dallas.
Cool.
So yeah,
very good.
Great places to visit. That's awesome. So in the meantime, where can everyone find information about your products? So you mentioned TPT, but I know I want to go write down these ideas and start teaching, even though I'm not in a classroom right now and don't have a job, but teachers are going to want to know, all right, how do I start doing this now? I've been doing it, not this way. How can they find everything, Deanna, online?
Well, so I do have a blog, deannajump.com. So if you go to my blog, there's a little search bar. You can type in all the things that you're looking for. There are a lot of free resources on there as well. And just a great way for you to just get information. And then, if you're interested in purchasing something, it does have a link to lead you to my TPT store. So,
yeah.
But start with the blog, because that's where you can get the information you need without having to spend any money.
Right. I'll go ahead and make sure I link a couple of blog articles that she's done. And then there's also a replay of a webinar that she did for ESGI that I can go ahead and link that YouTube link as well.
Perfect. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, Deanna. This was fun. I wish I was there with you guys.
I know.
I didn't get invited.
That is inaccurate.
Oh, that is not
true. That is inaccurate.
I just like
as soon as
time.
I knew, I said, hey. And
I know you did. Well, the hard part was this was our school date got pushed back for our own kids because of construction in our building. So they just started this week. And I'm like, there's no way I can leave. Not only just leaving them after the first week, but like Trisha after teaching.
Trisha should be like, you can go, but you can't come back.
Yeah.
So are your kids in person? Are your kids
so they're doing,
in person?
Yeah, our district's doing a hybrid model. So they're there half a day. And the main reason for that was to avoid lunchroom congestion because we're a K-8 building. So they are with their teacher. Even in the junior high, Olivia's junior high classes stay in one room and the teachers rotate. So she stays in the same room all day. They are able to go outside and run around and take their masks off outside. And Trisha's been doing that with her little group that she has. So it's going well. And every district around us that has started before us, everything is going well. Like, fingers crossed, knock on wood, it's been an awesome start.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So it's interesting to hear how different states and different districts are doing.
Totally. Yeah. That could be a whole episode.
Adapting to the times right now. Yes. Yes. It's interesting.
All right. Well, thank you, Deanna. And
all right.
Didi, I'll see you soon.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Classroom Collaborative Podcast.
If you are enjoying these episodes, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you are finding them.
And share and rate it so others can find it as well.
We'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Bye.